Malikim says that it's a terrible sin. It's very bad for a person to laugh or to put down someone that's serving Hashem. So we said the first reason why it's bad. Yeah, the Olam is responsible to remember what we had learned off the day before. We're having a good fun. The first reason is because you're hurting yourself. If you laugh, if you make fun in your own mind, especially if you say so, that someone else is acting from, then you are hurting yourself because you're degrading the mitzvos in your own eyes. A person could impact himself. And we said yesterday that the reason why many times we put down someone else that's acting from is because we want to make ourselves feel better, because we feel inferior, we feel jealous. And even if the person's, again, we said yesterday, even if the person's not acting properly, even if he's doing something which is a little bit extreme and maybe something that he shouldn't be doing, but why would you get upset and why would you put him down? If anything, you should say, oh, the person's trying to be from, the person's trying to do the right thing, he's making a mistake. But this is a special person who really cares about Avodas Hashem. You know, when you see someone lacking in Avodas Hashem, you don't get upset. But all of a sudden, the guys who from, oh, he's being so from, you know, why do people get so upset when someone acting so from? That's not a reason to get upset. The person tried too hard, he made a mistake, you know, he overdid it. But there's no reason to get upset. If anything, you should find respect. You know, if you want to tell him or you want to teach him, you know, maybe he's acting too extreme, fine. Maybe you're wrong also. Maybe you just think he's too extreme because you have a very liberal, you know, idea of Judaism. But there's no reason why you should get upset. The only reason we get upset is because we are jealous or aggravated.
Sometimes you'll get upset because the guy's trying to show off.
Yeah, many times a person isn't trying to show off. That's also true. Your guy gets upset, he says the person's showing off. So first of all, many times a person's not showing off, you want to think he's showing off because you don't want to believe yourself from. And also, you get more upset when a guy shows off in Yiddishkeit than when he shows off, you know, his new watch, or shows off his new shirt, or shows off his new belt, or shows off. Then you don't get so upset. There's usually, if a person learns himself, he realizes that there's a lot more when something bothers him than just what he says is bothering. We also said yesterday, I was telling yesterday about my friend who did some Nevada actions, and that the reason what was bothering me was more was just feeling, you know, maybe jealous. But we were saying yesterday, once we got off the top, we were saying yesterday the person has to have guts. I was very happy because 2 days in a row I heard Bachram that told me that they did something that took guts. One Bachram told me that he spoke for the first time since his bar mitzvah. He spoke publicly since his bar mitzvah. He said his mother was so happy. He said his mother was so happy she cried. She cried or she teared. And the mother, by the way, had every right to be very happy that our son spoke in public. Another bachur approached a parent about something that was difficult for them. I was very happy to see that. I want to tell you something. You know, parents, when a child goes away to yeshiva and comes home, parents don't necessarily see how much they grew in their learning. Most parents, you know, don't test their children. The mommies, the mothers can't test their children, you know, in their learnings. So they don't really know. And the only thing they could see is development in their midos, and not just development in their midos, what yeshiva also should develop, and sorry, And there's an area of midos. Midos doesn't just mean developing being a nicer person and being nicer to your mommy and tati, but developing your midos is also strength of character. I have no doubt when this mother or the parents saw their son speak, they had every right, and it's true, to attribute it to the yeshiva, that the person should act that way. You know, just on Shabbos, someone was telling me that they were visiting here, and they met someone that they knew from before the bacher came to Waterbury, and they said they see such a change in his character, in his happiness, in his friendliness. Yeshiva has to develop a person's character in many ways than just you know, develop his learning skills. This is character. A person has to develop his own character. A person has to have strength.
So a yeshiva develops someone's character, not a person develops his own character.
Yeshiva should help a person develop his own character. No one can do it. Nothing can be done by other people. Everything has to be done by yourself. The yeshiva is supposed to help a person develop his character. The atmosphere of the yeshiva should be conducive to character growth. The atmosphere of the yeshiva should develop strength of character. That's one. And that's one of the reasons we have Muslims here. Hopefully we achieve some success. Okay. Alright. A person has to have guts, a person has to have strength of character. Don't chicken out. If your brother has a bar mitzvah, you should speak. There's no excuse to chicken out. It's the right thing to do. So if your parents want you to speak, it's the right thing to do. Try not to chicken out of everything. If you learn to chicken out, there's some people that their whole lives chicken out. And many times, all a person has to do is get over it once. Many things a person get over it once, and the next time it's easier, the next time it's easier, and it's very easy. It's very easy. A friend of mine, you know, speaks all the time, and I know for a fact that he had stage fright. If you do something, the person had stage fright. But he spoke, and he spoke, and he spoke, and he spoke, and he spoke. I don't think he has stage fright anymore. It doesn't seem like it. There's no, if a person has a chance to daven for the Amud, Nachamo, daven. If you can get the words out of your mouth, if you'd be uncomfortable, you'd be nervous. The first time, everyone's nervous. Who's not nervous the first time you don't they daven for the Amud? Who was not nervous if they daven for the Amud? There's no such person. Kamana's person is not nervous. They're nervous. And you know what happens? It gets worse and worse. You cheat backs, you chickens out, you know, let someone else daven. And then he's 20 years old, he's never daven for the Amud yet. So then it's even harder, the truth is, to start then. And he never does it. That's for sure, you know. You know, when he's 80, when he's 90, his parents, you know, past 120. So maybe then he'll have no choice. He'll have to ensure in honor of his parents. But a person should do things that, you know, a person should speak. If it's appropriate, he should speak, you know. So let's continue here. So number one, when you laugh when someone else does X from, you're hurting yourself. Hasheni number two. Because maybe from the laughter, the tzaddik is going to stop his tzidkis. Because he won't be able to bear the laughter. He's not going to bear, you know, being put down. So even though the Ruach HaTzadikim calls him a tzaddik, he's a tzaddik, but he might not be able to stand in the sight of other people putting him down. And many times we don't realize that we hurt other people with our comments, and the person acts from, the guy says, you know, maybe we shouldn't say it, maybe it's Lashon Hara. And you say, you don't make fun of him, you just innocently say, oh, such a frummy, when you become some frum, little comments, little jabs, you take at a person, we don't realize, you know, how that affects a person, and the person's is going to be afraid to speak up the next time. She never put someone down, you know, when he's doing something that he's trying to do the right thing. Ashlishi. Number three, Kenashim Rabin. Many people, Ashalonisu Lalechas Bedarche Hashem Misbarach, that have not been tested to go in the ways of Hashem. So they have not, I guess, succeeded. There are many people that have never succeeded in serving Hashem. Listen to this. They'll never be able to change. There are many people, there are many people that might have been stuck in a group of people that, let's say he's not so from, and he has friends that are not so from. He's afraid to do tshuva. He's afraid to change his ways. Many people are like this. They're afraid to change their ways because they're afraid that people are going to laugh at them. A guy lives in a community where you know, people act a certain way, and he wants to change. Whatever it is, he wants to change. He doesn't want to talk, for example. There's a shul that they talk about. And he finally decides, you know, I'm 50 years old. I'm old enough, not to be talking about the Yankees from Chazars and Shots. I'm a little bit too old. I really should give up, you know. I can't give up watching the Yankees, but at least during davening, I probably should. Probably not right to be talking about the Yankees. It's an amazing thing, but amazing. It never ceases to amaze me how 40-year-old men, not how 40-year-old men can talk about the Yankees. All right, not such a guy. But 40-year-old men can talk about the Yankees during Kriyas HaTorah, during davening, in front of their 15-year-old children. That amazing. Like, are you embarrassed? You send your kid to yeshiva, pay tuition, and this is what you're a role model for your kid. Your kid's not talking. I've seen it. The kids are not talking. There's talking about this, about the Yankees, about this, about the trade, latest trade. How much chashivas are you showing for laning? When? I mean, and some will ask you, what's more important, Tyra or Yankees? The stomach will say Tyra. But it's kind of a contradiction when the milk clears the Tyra, you're not listening to the Tyra, and you're talking about the Yankees. It's kind of a stira, you know. I'm sorry. But someone's stuck, someone's sitting. No, it's not the friend. Yeah, but what happens if a guy wants to change, right? What's the guy wants to change? You know, grow up, it's not appropriate to talk during davening. He's afraid. They'll call him frummy. Don't talk to him, he doesn't talk during davening. He's really frummy. He all of a sudden became really frummy. Yeah. All of a sudden he became really frummy. He wants to go. He doesn't learn anything, but he's very from it. They'll knock him. They'll put him down. He's afraid of being put down. Many people are frozen not to change anything, any little area. By the way, this also has to do with having guts from the other side. But let's first talk about the harm being done. The person's afraid to change because people are gonna make fun of him. So when you make fun, when someone makes fun of someone else for acting from, even if it's a little jab, like, oh, you're so from, any little jab, you're putting in the person's mind, you're setting the person's mind the fear that he's afraid any time to change. He's afraid that people are going to laugh at him. Why do people laugh? By the way, why do people put him down? Why do you think people down when in the middle of davening, you know, he says, you know, very nicely, I don't want to talk to you, I don't want to talk to him, why do they start making fun of him? It's all jealousy. It's all inferiority. It's all being threatened by this person's frumka, so they have to knock him. They have to put him down. By the way, I know a person that decided to wear a bakisha later on in his life. Very, very, very impressive. Is it a chiyuv to wear a bakisha? No. Person felt that he always wanted to wear a bakisha. You know, something that he felt is important for him, for his Shabbos. And so impressive, because what do you think happened? And he knew it. He was expecting it. What do you think? What do you think? How many comments, stupid comments, do you think he got the first 2 weeks to show? So he asked the Rav what he thinks, if he thought that he should do it. The Rav said, yeah, and he said, don't worry about the comments. He said after a week or two, they'll stop, you know. But he didn't care. And most people are afraid to do such a thing because they're afraid of what people want to say. So we have to be careful not to put even a little bit of an insult, a little bit of a jab to someone that tries to be from. If anything, we should be the ones to give the person a chizuk. Say, I'm so impressed. I'm so impressed that a bacha decides to wear tzitzis out. I remember I was 11th grade, I think, and my manal, Rav Brafman, I think he's the one that, it could be he came over to me, I'm not sure, he's like, I think, you know, you should, it's about time, and you should wear your tzitzis out. I think he told me, I don't remember. So, what I decided, because I don't know whose idea it was, but I had a very good idea. For anyone that wants to try, it's a good idea. So, you know, and by the way, for a person to do it, also, depends who his friends are, but he might also be a little bit afraid. But what I did was, I was uncomfortable, so it doesn't sound like a big deal now, but nothing sounds like a big deal after the fact. Everything always in our minds, we're scared of, like, you know, someone speaking and, like, you're afraid to, like, you know, get out of your seat to get a tissue, you know. We're afraid of I'm afraid of our own shadows. But I put the tits in my pocket. I think someone gave me the idea. So me and my friend, I think we started together. I put our tits in my pocket. So I left it out in the morning and I stuck it in my pocket. So no one really could see. But then during the day, invariably, the tits come out when you're not paying attention. And boom, the tits are out. Makes it easier. But we have to be very careful. When you see a person decide to put a tzitzis out, is it a chiyuv? Perhaps. Ask your local Orthodox rabbi. Person decides to whatever it is. I don't care if it's halacha or not halacha. The person's doing something that he thinks is good for his Judaism. Person decides to do whatever it is. Then instead of making a jab, you should be the one. You should be the one. Maybe the only one that will go over to the person and say that I'm very impressed that you're doing that and you're not afraid to change. I'm very impressed. And don't listen to what other people say. I'm very impressed. That's what you should say. It's not halacha, he's not mukhayyif, so what? He's doing something with good intentions and he's doing the right thing for him. So instead of, you know, go over to him and if I care, say something nice, not a little jab. Not the slightest jab. When you put a slight jab on anyone, even if it's very, very slight, it already gets the person nervous about other people. Maybe this time it's too late, he's wearing a tzitzis out. But the next time, he won't do the next step. I'm not saying Yiddish guys go wearing a tzitzis out and wearing a pegasha. But whatever it is, he's afraid to change. There are people that will go in darkness their whole lives just because they're afraid to change. Fear. That's what God's fear could freeze a person. Fear could freeze a person from change. Fear freezes many people from doing the right thing. I don't know. I have this crazy thing. I've said this before. It's only me. I'll have to see Hashi after Musaba. But I always had this thing. I haven't had it in a long time. But I always remember that anytime I had a dream that someone broke into my house. I don't know. It's more like a kid, you know, kid thing. That anytime I'd want to scream, nothing would come out. Anytime I want to scream, I don't know if I'm the only person that has a dream. Anytime I want to scream, nothing. I can't get words out of my mouth. It's very interesting. Actually, what does it mean? Well, anyways, anyone ever have this before? It's only me. I'm the only nut. But it's only me. I figured this is, yeah, you've heard of it?
Things like the
heard
of it? Trigger doesn't work, the gun on the gun.
Yeah.
Or you can't scream, or you can't run.
Can't run, right. Can't move, right. So that's what fear really, but the depth of that is that fear can freeze a person. Right, Paris says over that, it's not going to happen. Says over, and Right Paris said there are different types of people. You know, Right Paris, you know, before I get to that, one time if Rockaway the alarm went off and we were upstairs and we thought someone might break in. My mother sent down my brothers to check it out. I would be afraid to go. My brother this went downstairs. Now they go downstairs, you know, then afterward, and they saw the back door was open. Turned out it wasn't someone breaking in, it probably was left open. But they ran outside, they took a baseball bat, and they went to the deck and said, whoever's there, and like, they want to get the guy. Like, crazy, really crazy. Stay inside the house, lock the door. Some people just don't, it's their instinct. Some people's instinct is just to go back, and some instinct is to, you know, as we've had stories in yeshiva, some instinct is just to fight. It's instinct. And anyway, their parent, it happened to their parent that someone broke into his house Friday night. The Suda, every year he has a Suda, so like, duh. Every year he says over the story. And Friday night someone broke into his house. I'm not going to say over the whole story, now someone broke into his house. And his son saw the person in the house. And his son went back to the table. He couldn't tell his father. He couldn't talk. He was so afraid. He couldn't tell his father that there's someone there. He's like, you know, I don't know exactly what he did, but he basically was like frozen, like maybe motion. But his father saw that, obviously he could tell. Right, parents could tell that there was someone in the house because he was white as a ghost, but he couldn't talk. In fact, he was so frozen. What happened was, if I remember correctly, right? What happened was, right? Parents stood like, you know, behind the, you know, the doorpost, whatever. And when he passed by. Every passed by, the repair grabbed him, you know, I don't know exactly how it happened. He grabbed him, I don't know. They ended up, I don't know how exactly they got in this position. They ended up basically both of them were fighting. Both of them were fighting each other by the arms. And the other guy had the gun, and Repair was trying to pull away the gun from him. And they were fighting for a while to get to the gun. And Repair called his son. He said, get me a hammer. So get me a hammer. And his son, like was frozen. So he had a scream at him. He said, I'm pretty sure. You remember? You were there? He had a scream. He had a scream at him. He had a scream at his son to get me a hammer. He had a scream at him to get him a hammer because his son was still frozen. That's the way. That's a natural thing. You know, it's a natural thing. You know, I mean, and anyways, he got it's funny the end of the story. Anyways, I don't know how he did this exactly, but he brought him the hammer. He wouldn't have asked him to use it. He probably couldn't do it. He slipped out one hand and then smashed him. I took the hammer and smashed him over the head until the guy was unconscious. But that's fear. Fear freezes. A person could freeze. People freeze in fear. It's very important for a person. So, you know, this fear, this fear, you know, is not talking about a robber or a, you know, schwarzer with a gun, but a fear of, there's that same fear to a certain extent of opening your mouth and saying I don't talk during davening, or, you know, or when the person talks to you in middle college, not to answer him. You know, you're afraid to just pick up your hand and go like that. That's the way it is. If you practice and you get over it once, you get over it twice, you get over it three times, it becomes easier. It's the only way it becomes easier, just by practice. So we have to be careful how we treat other people. We have to be very delicate. By the way, not everyone's like us. Just because you're not, many people are not sensitive to other people's criticism. Some people could care less what other people think about them. There are those people. It has its ups and downs to it. But there are people that are very sensitive. And you have to assume, you have to treat every person as if you assume that they're very sensitive to criticism. You have to be very careful how you treat them. So we have to be very careful not to make fun of someone else when they're doing something good. We have to be careful with our children. Many times parents, a kid tries to help. The kid tries to help serve and he breaks a dish. You yell at him. That's not good enough. The child is trying to help. Yeah, trying to do the right thing. And if we are the victims of other people's criticisms, we have to stick out our tongue to ourselves and say, too bad on you. Too bad on you. I'm doing what's right. Too bad on you. The person has to develop that strength to say too bad on you. Many people, you know, many people, other people run their lives. Some people, when they're younger, they're not even younger. Some people, when they're older, their parents run their lives from the time they're one to the time their parents are no longer in the world because they're afraid what they're afraid their parents are going to say. Why are you doing that? You know, many people are afraid of what their spouse is going to say. Why are you doing that? Many people are afraid of criticism and afraid of what other people are going to say. A person has to try to tough. It's good to be sensitive, but like we've spoken before, use your sensitivity to be very delicate with everyone else, and break your own sensitivity not to be sensitive for yourself. If you always stay sensitive your whole life, you're in danger. And if you're insensitive naturally, then you yourself are somewhat safe, but everyone else is in danger, so you have to work on that. Your marriage and your kids might be in danger, but other than that, you're safe. Okay, let's go right there. Okay. Let's finish the paragraph here, at least in mine. You're lucky that I have my own, so I have shorter paragraphs. El Shemar Nasa L'Shal Tachas. So, I'm sorry. V'nim Tzazah Mesachik. When a person laughs at someone else, Lo'idai Shemaneh Mechaveh Rav Tov HaTov HaTzadikim. Not only does it hold back from his friend, his Olam Haba, you are the cause of someone else not going to Olam Haba because he's afraid to change, because he's afraid of what you're going to say. El Shemar Nasa L'Shal Tachas. You're causing him to go to Gehenna. A person that laughs at someone else, even if he gives a look, is included in someone that's machdias aram. He's someone that causes others to sin. Haravi, the fourth bad effect of laughing at someone else, putting down someone else. Shadaim alistim, you're like a robber. Shaim al parshas drachim, you're like a robber standing by the highway. Parshas drachim is like where the road splits. The kaitzitz ragli and mevian darlamel, you're like a robber that stands by the highway on the road to the palace, and anyone coming for a present to the king, you kill them, or you cut off their legs, and you steal the gift. You are the enemy and you hate the king. You're enemy of the king. The king would find out about this person. So if you're a robber, it's one thing. But when you're robbing the people that are going to bring stuff to the king, you're going to be on top of the most wanted list. It's very terrible. So when a person has a shalom, puts down someone else for acting too from, you know, whatever that means. If a person puts someone else down for acting from, you know, for being, you know, being too strict, whatever it is, then you're really sort of standing against HaKadosh Baruch, because this person is trying to serve Hashem, and you are stopping him. You are putting it down. You're putting down the service of Hashem. Yes. Numbers of people that put down when you do something to from, because they're jealous and they're challenged. And there are those that don't care about the serving Hashem, but are just mental that have a certain decency of respecting what someone else does and not making fun. But automatically, when you have a community at large where most of the people are not working hard to grow, automatically they're going to be among those people that are jealous and are going to make fun. You know, it's going to happen. is the community, is every person in the community bad? No. There are many people that are not from. By the way, you find it very much. You know that you have a. If a lady wants to shake your hand, so you could ask your rav, but the pasha says you don't. It's machlokes whether it's yav al yav, you have to give up your life for it perhaps, or maybe according to some, especially when it's a nisur of negiyah, shaking a lady's hand. Pashas, I was taught, pashas, most people are machlokes natan. If you're in a situation, you could definitely ask your rav. Until you ask your rav, this much I think I have a right to say, until you ask your rav, don't shake any lady's hand. If your rav tells you it's mutter, then it's a different story. But until you have your head, you can't do it without any psak. Pasha says we don't shake ladies' hands. So a lady comes to shake your hand. So it's always like this. If it's a guy, it's a lot easier. You tell the guy, even if you tell the guy, I'm religious and we don't shake ladies' hands, I'm sorry. She'll usually 99% of the time, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know, and they'll apologize, and usually they won't think. The closer you get to your religion, you get someone who's Jewish, someone who's conservative. The closer you get, the more there's offense, because then already they're already I can't respect it because it's opposing my position. When I'm a guy, you're a Jew. That's your religion. That's why there's this famous story with the guy on the bus. The guy on the bus, he was dressed in a black long black coat and a kapata, and the guy came over to him, and said, I don't know exactly what he said to him, but he said to him, he's not from, I think he even said to him Yiddish, he was from Europe. He said to him, you dress like such a crazy person, you have to look different, you should dress like everyone else. And the guy said to him, who says over the story? I think Twersky, was it happen with him or someone else? He says, excuse me, he said to him in Yiddish, he said, excuse me, excuse me, I don't understand, I'm Amish, what do you want? And the guy said back to him, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't realize, and then he said back to him in Yiddish, because when it's you could respect that, and they could respect when it's someone else. But if it's confronting me, I don't want to respect it. If it's confrontational to me, it says to me that I'm not doing what's right, so I don't respect it. This is the way everyone is. So a community that doesn't care to grow in serving Hashem, you're gonna always have those people that are not gonna be able to respect someone else doing it because it's a confrontation to them. So a person has to live in a place where he's not afraid. So it's not the whole community that's bad necessarily, that's gonna laugh. But it's impossible you're not gonna have a large number of those. Even in the frum community, even in the really frum communities, you have this problem. Once a person works on his mental kind, a person works on his midos. But so anyways, yes, the lady's hand, I'm saying that's the way it is, A person try to avoid it. A person's in a place where he knows it's going to happen. He's by a bar mitzvah of a relative that's not religious. So they're very simple. They just get out of it. All you have to do is carry around the tissue. If you have a cold. You're not always before you have to announce your religion. You know what I'm saying? So you could have a cold. You could avoid it. Ray Miller says that? That's so funny because Ray Paris said the same thing. I didn't know that Ray Miller says it. Also, really? You know what I'm saying? I wonder if you heard it from Ray. He said Ray Miller says, and Ray Paris told us the same thing. I was thinking I should say it over. He says that you should say you don't shake hands with attractive women. So they're mechavet, I guess. They're mechavet each other. If it's an older lady, it's very easy. I would personally be uncomfortable. I'm not saying they don't see there's anything wrong. I asked her afterwards, isn't it weird that Shiva Buffer should say, call a lady attractive? It's like they don't think. Now I realize it's a little older, I realized that by the Goyim or by not from people, they're so mufka from any tzniyas that it's not a modest thing to say that a little other way is attractive or pretty, you know. But I would personally be uncomfortable saying it, even though I'm even a little older now. But if it's an older lady, it's very easy. You could say, don't shake hands with young women. That's the best thing you could say, right? Say to yourself, don't shake hands with young women. All right, we'll stop. Yesh oit simcha mara chalana. There's another simcha which is bitter, like alana. I don't know what that is. Some type of bitter item. You going right for niyof. Those that run after adultery, v'gazel and gezel, v'shar aves and other averas, u'smechem ba'asigam ha'tayvas aros, and they are happy, they rejoice when they reach their evil tayvas. Well, Elo Nemra on these it says, u'smechem la'asas ra, those that are happy when they do evil, yagilu, they rejoice, v'sapucha is ra. Guess when they're involved in evil. Va'anshem gadol ashal tachtis. Their punishment is great, Until the grave, until Gehenna. Interesting. It says over here that simcha that a person has when he does an avera is a terrible thing, and he says it brings a person, the punishment brings him to the depths of Gehenna. We say in the Nachet, right? Aritzas raglayim lahara. I don't know if I'm saying it right. I think so. Aritzas raglayim lahara. For running, running of our feet to evil. So you see, there's a special chait. It's not only depending on whether you did an aveir or not. The punishment's according to how you did it. Well, I guess it's the wrong one, because it's not here. That we sin on the sin for the sin that we have sinned in front of you, to running to do evil. So it's not just a matter of doing an avera. Also depends on how you do it. Also, same thing. The same we find by doing a mitzvah. Rabbi Kaler spoke about this recently. The Or Chasidikim says in Shara Simcha. Oh, that's what we're learning, Shara Simcha. But he says, soon to come, I'm not sure where, but soon to come, that a person that does a mitzvah with Simcha is worth 1,000 times a mitzvah done without Simcha. A mitzvah done with Simcha is worth 1,000 times the amount done without Simcha. So it's not just a matter of doing mitzvahs. It's a matter of how you do it. Now, when we think about it, we should be smart. When we do a mitzvah, we should try to do it right. If a person wanted to do 1,000 mitzvahs, he could do 1,000 mitzvahs without simcha, or he could be very smart. You know, I'm speaking a little bit, whatever, but just making a point. A person be a lot smarter, make an investment. Do one mitzvah with simcha, and it'll take a lot less time. It'll be like 1,000 mitzvahs shalai b'simcha.
So if you would theoretically do one mitzvah with simcha, you could stop doing 1,000 mitzvahs?
Right, so that's why I was being a little bit facetious. Obviously, if you do one mitzvah with simcha, you can't stop doing mitzvahs, because any mitzvah you don't do, you're even aver. But the point is that it's worth, a mitzvah with simcha is worth 1,000 times more mitzvah than out simcha, then obviously it's worth the extra investment into doing the mitzvah with simcha. We say in this week's parasha, right, in the Teichacha, Tachas asher lo avadata Hashem Elokecha b'simcha u'b'tuv levav mirayv kol. tachas, the reason why all these punishments are coming is because he didn't serve Hashem with simcha. Doesn't say, because it seems that even if they served Hashem, even if we serve Hashem, and we do all the mitzvahs, which is would be a, quite a feat for us, but still the tachacha, the punishments come, the klalas come, because tachas shalavat Hashem lakecha is simcha. That we don't serve Hashem with simcha. Which is very important for us to work on, that we don't look at it that way. We look at it as, well, I did the mitzvah, I didn't do the mitzvah. It's a nice thing, you know, it's a nice thing. It's a little better if I did the mitzvah with simcha. It's a little bit worse. It's not a little bit better. It's just like we understand the difference between doing one mitzvah and two mitzvahs, one mitzvah and 100 mitzvahs. That's the difference between doing one mitzvah with simcha and doing one mitzvah without simcha. When we do a mitzvah, we have to work on doing it properly. We have to doing it right. Rabbi Kehler said over, I think it was from Rebellion del Pian, but the reason that a mitzvah, when a person does a mitzvah, does an avera, so the mitzvah has an effect on the person for life. A person does an avera, so it has a bad effect on the person. So when a person does a mitzvah with simcha, has a tremendous effect on the person's neshama. Person's open, has a tremendous effect on him. When a person does a mitzvah begrudgingly, a person does a mitzvah without simcha, so it has very little effect. So that would be understanding why the mitzvah is 1,000 times more, because the purpose of a mitzvah, the mitzvah is supposed to affect the person. So how you do the mitzvah, a person can do 1,000 mitzvahs and would not make the impression that one mitzvah would make on his neshama. But the same thing is with an avera. If a person does an avera, you know, without simcha, you know, he can't control himself, he gives in, but he tries at least not to relish in it. A person doesn't do it with simcha, he doesn't run, so it has less, it's less of an avera. It's not an avera which happens to be without your hakira. It's not just an avera, you know, what's the pshat, an avera done with simcha? A mitzvah done with simcha. It's not like, well, you have to do a mitzvah, and you're not allowed to do an avera. If you do a mitzvah, then, you know, it's worse. It's worse to do an Avera with Simcha. Or it's better to do a mitzvah with Simcha. No. A mitzvah with Simcha, the mitzvah itself is a greater mitzvah. An Avera with Simcha is a worse Avera. Just like there's a difference between a person's Machal Shabbos. By definition, Chilul Shabbos is a Chomer Avera and Chayv Skila. A person does it, eats treif, is a lav. So too, eating treif with simcha is a more chomer avera than eating treif without simcha. So l'chara, I want to say, perhaps you could even say a chiddush. It's totally in a lot of lambdas. Here I'll ask you a shayla. The person has to eat treif. Someone held a gun to someone. They said, eat treif or I'll kill you. So halacha is, if it's bitzina, if it's in private, he should eat the treif rather than get shot, right? So now, should he eat the treif with simcha? So there's a chakira. If a person eats treif, so what? Now, when he eats a treif, is that an act of an isser or not? You know, well, chayra, if a person, let's say, would eat the treif because he held a gun to his head, and he says, oh, I've always wanted to eat treif. Oh, I finally get to eat the cheeseburger. Yeah? So, it could be, I don't know. It is treif, it's a cheeseburger. First it's treif. Oh, whatever it is, it's not kosher. The meat's not kosher, right? So it could be that there might be, I don't know, mechidish, it might be that there's an active avera if you do it with simcha, because now it changes the whole act that you're doing. You might be allowed to eat. You're not allowed to eat with simcha. You're not allowed to even enjoy the and feel happy that you're able to eat the treif. I don't know. That could be that. I don't know if you have to give me your license, whatever. But it could be that would be that would definitely be an that could be an act of avera. It's not a. This is something that it's not easy for a person has to work on. You know, a lot of it depends on you know this side. Chitzonis mereres is apinus. The outside influences inside. Person, let's say a person is giving tzedakah. This is an example. Person is giving tzedakah, and he's gonna give $100 to tzedakah. Let's say he's giving meiser money, but he's giving tzedakah. So either way, he's giving tzedakah. So a person decides, and he gives the tzedakah. He thinks about it for a second before he hands over the money. He thinks to himself for a second. You know, beforehand, it could be, you know, it's hard for him to give up the money. And he really feels tight on money, and he feels it's hard that he's giving up his meiser money yet. It's his. We're not supposed to look at it the way we're supposed to look at it. It's not ours. You know, I think it's always better. I mean, it's kedai. I haven't, we're not discussing myself anyways, but at one point I was a lot better on it. But it's kedai when if a person gets money, and instead of first putting it to your account, and then later taking off meiser, I think it's a lot smarter when you're taking the money, if you're cashing the money, than to put away the meiser right away. That stamps more in your head that it was never mine. And it is never ours. We put it on account, we have a hard time maybe taking it out, we think we're losing. But as you're putting it to account, you take out, that's not mine, this money is not going to my account, this money is Hashem's. This is meiser. But whatever it is, a person's giving away money to tzedakah. So a person, maybe it's hard for the person to give away the money. You know, someone needs money from you. Someone needs to borrow something from you. So it's hard for you to give it up. But before you do it, you think to yourself for a minute. I'm giving the money, and this is just about the simple thing. I'm giving away the money anyways. I'm going to give the money to tzedakah. I'm giving the money to tzedakah. I think to myself, I'm really lucky. I'm really lucky when I give this $20 to tzedakah, when I give the dollar to tzedakah. I'm really lucky. I'm getting a mitzvah. I'm getting a mitzvah. The mitzvah is worth more than all the money in the world. I'm really lucky that I'm giving this money to tzedakah. If I just think about that for 15, 20 seconds before I give it, so it's not so hard to build up a little bit of enthusiasm, a little bit of appreciation. And right before I give it, just think about, look, I'm lucky I'm able to do this mitzvah, and then give it away. Get away with simcha. That's a much greater mitzvah than when a person just, you know, hands over the money, right? He has to, you know, whatever. You know, I have to give away the money. I have to give it away. Person should we should try. Should try. A person put. We should think. I mean, I have to do it myself. A person puts on tefillin in the morning. A person thinks to himself 2 seconds before he puts on the tefillin that. He's lucky to do. He's lucky to be able to do a have the mitzvah put on film. He's lucky to be able to do the mitzvah. Would probably have a tremendous effect on ourselves. Okay, let's continue. There's another mixed simcha that's mixed up. Hamala ashel chol mitzvahs that brings smoke to all the mitzvahs. Vameshkachas yiras Hashem, and it makes people forget about fear of Hashem. Yisbarach milibos bnei adam from the hearts of men. What is he talking about here? What simcha is he talking about that makes people forget about Hashem? Ken elo mishtakrim, those that get drunk, usmechem and rejoice, and are happy, bebeis a mishta by a party, by a chasna, a party. Va'achris ha-simcha azayis tuga, and after the simcha, I'm not sure what tuga means. The end of the simcha, I don't know what tuga means. I guess it's not good. Many destructive things happen from like a mishta, from the rejoicing of a party. Chacham Kishlema ben David. Who is a wise person like Shlomo ben David? Amar Asher Amar said, Lemi ay, to who is it woe? To who is it bad? Lemi avay, who is it bad again? Lemi midyanim, lemi siach, lemi tzaim. What?
Sorrow.
Sorrow? Alright. Sacher Simcha Zaz Toga. The Simcha brings the sadness, brings the bad. Lemi midyanim, lemi siach, lemi pitzayim, chino. Lemi chachlilu seinayim. Okay, I don't know what this means. Instead of getting a dictionary, it might be better to get a Tanakh. You know, while David looks up the pasuk, you know, you could discuss, you know, there's a practice of some people to get drunk by weddings. There's a practice of some people to get drunk on Simchas Torah. There's a practice of people to get drunk on Friday nights. There's a practice of some people to get drunk on Tuesday nights. There's a practice of people, yeah.
Who cries, alas? Who cries,
well,
who is...
One second, can you say that louder?
it goes, who cries, alas? Who cries, woe? Who is contentious?
Whoa.
Who prattles? Who is wounded for naught? Whose eyes are red? Those who linger over wine. Those who come to inquire over mixtures. It's all about a drink.
Inquire over what?
Mixed drinks.
All right.
It's all about drinking.
So it's saying that it's bad for the person to drink. By the way, you should know, the Olam is going to be excited because the Orach HaTzaddikim is the advocator of drinking. We'll learn over the next few days. In fact, when I learned Shara Simcha, I don't know when it was. At least a year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I learned Shara Simcha. So the Olam would bring at least one day, the Olam, someone brought a bottle of wine and we gave out drinks. The Orach HaTzaddikim advocates drinking of wine. But we're discussing here getting drunk, and obviously it's inappropriate for a bacha to get drunk. There's absolutely no reason for a bacha to get drunk by a wedding. What's the definition of drunk? You have to find your own definition.
No, like, you know, you can drink a little bit tipsy, that called drunk. You're drunk, it's like you drink so much you lose control. What's the line?
You can't walk in a straight line.
Let's put it this way. Drunk, I would say, drunk to the point that it's obvious to anyone around you that you're drunk. Right? No. If a person goes to a wedding and he's not driving and he wants to drink a cup or two, he wants to take a shot or two, I don't know what it does to every person, and it makes it a little easier for him to be labadic, so I don't think that's wrong. I don't think that's bad. You know, Simchas Torah, yes, we really shouldn't need to be able to drink to have Simcha and Simchas Torah, but if a person finds himself very shy or in a bad mood and he needs a cup or two to get himself a little bit looser, then all right, I personally don't have strong feelings against it. When a person gets drunk, then he's missing the boat. When a person's drunk, when a person's high, he could be close to himself, he's just a little bit looser. When a person's drunk, he's not himself. It's not Chil Hashem when a Yeshiva Baruch gets drunk on by a Chas Latzmah, which is just a Chil Hashem. You know, usually it's a sign of depression, getting drunk. Person's happy with life, so maybe you could still need a cup or two to get him to loosen up a little bit. Makes it easier. If a person gets drunk, it's just a sign of depression. He has to be totally away from himself because his reality of life is depressing, so he wants to avoid his reality of life, and he'll get drunk and he's in a different dimension, a different world. What?
A lot of drink
for that? Of course not. Of course. What? I said a cup or two is fine. I said not to get drunk.
No, not for someone.
A cup or two, I'm talking about grape juice.
It's not for someone who gets depressed. It's for someone who's usually closed up.
I'm not talking about a cup or two of vodka or a cup or two of whiskey. I'm talking about wine. I'm talking about wine. Alright. You know, a person gets drunk Simchas Torah. He does not have Simchas Torah. He has Simchas Yayin. There doesn't have to be a Torah there. There doesn't have to be a book there. He's drunk. It's not in the game what's going on around him.
And he's in a bad mood Simchas Torah. And he has a little bit of wine,
brings
him up, and then he's able to
enjoy. I said that even the person's not in a bad
mood.
He's not
tripping over himself.
I said a cup or two of wine or a shot or something is gesund to hay. I don't think it's such a bad thing. You know. But when a person, you know, drinks more than that, a person gets drunk, that's totally no one enjoys their company anyways, except the other drunkards. And Baruch Hashem, most people are not drunk by weddings, they're not drunk in Simchas Torah. There's no hatter to get drunk Friday night or any other occasion, obviously. You know,
Tuesday night.
Person's by Shalom Zachar, he wants a bottle of beer, fine, one bottle. Person has to be alright. So what? Also to get drunk? Could be. To find it. But if we'll get to the next paragraph, we'll talk about when it's appropriate to drink. Alright, don't get drunk. Even Purim, I spoke about it. Even Purim, that I think that drunkenness, you know, I think the drunkenness should try to be moderated. A person should not. A person should drink even more than he would drink more and more, you know, than being a little more than being high. A person shouldn't be drunk to the point that he really just has no idea what's going on around him. He's not careful with people around him. He's not, you know. Gam Hanavi Amar. The Navi says, Haimashkime Vabaikir Shechar, Yir Daifu, Me'achre Vaneshef, Yain Yalikim.
Woe to those who arise early in the morning to pursue liquor, who stay up late at night while wine inflames them.
Those are what?
Those who arise early in the morning, pursue liquor, who stay up late at night, while wine inflames them.
Okay, what's the next pasuk?
There are harp and lyre, a lyre,
yeah,
and drum, and flute, and wine at the drinking parties, but they would not contemplate the deed of Hashem, and would not look at the work of his hands.
See, that's the thing, when a person drinks too much, he can lose. It's very easy for a person to lose his Yiras Hashem. Very easy for a person to lose Yiras Hashem. But Amar Lachin Kol Ahamim Bli Das Uchvodem Meseirav Amane Tzichei Tama.
Therefore, my people is being exiled because of ignorance. It's honored one's dying of starvation, and its multitude parched from thirst.
Okay, you know, I'm going to skip a little bit. The wine causes a person to be a late and to talk too much. Here's the Rambam, is this what you're talking about? Daniel, someone that gathers to drink, Amashakaris that drunks. Listen to the Rambam. Someone who gets drunk, you should look at it more embarrassing than a bunch of people standing undressed. Rambam says people that gather to drink and get drunk should be more embarrassing to you than people undressed. Ki hashichrus umaisa ara, hashichrus is an evil act. Ki umafsad haseichel shenafach Hashem yisbarach me'abav. Because he loses the seichel that Hashem has given him. Beautiful Rambam. The Rambam writes that a group of people drunk is more embarrassing, and you should know. Sorry? Yeah, he brings it down. It's more embarrassing than a group of people without clothing, because the shichras takes away the seichel. By the way, you see from here, right? that, because what's the most embarrassing thing for a person is not to have his seichel. That's the most embarrassing thing. More embarrassing than having his clothing, person not having his seichel. And you should know. You should know. It's very interesting. You know, when you're drunk, you know. When you're drunk, you don't realize how you're perceived, you know. So, you know, there's an embarrassment. A person's drunk, it could be an embarrassment. You know, my wife told me on Purim, you know. I don't know if I was the worst. I don't know how bad I was, but she said, but just a group of people just drunk, she said, and the way they were carrying on, said she was embarrassed. And I don't know about Purim. Definitely the realm's talking about getting drunk in general, that it's embarrassing. That a person should not be caught drunk. You want to be caught undressed? Should be caught drunk. You're an embarrassing state of being. And you know, you might not care then because you're drunk. But that's the state you're in, and that's a state you shouldn't be in. You know. You shouldn't be in such a state that you're embarrassing yourself. If you don't care about your own covenant, the covenant Tamal Elokim. Shiloh's Purim, so I don't know, the Maisa is your chayv to get drunk, you know. But there's what to rely on. There's what to rely on for him not to get drunk. And this is the hargish that I'm starting to feel. You know, that even on Purim, it doesn't have to necessarily be the point that the person, as the Rambam writes, is embarrassing without clothing. A person can get drunk on Purim to a point where he's totally out of control and totally carrying on silly. Or a person could be drunk, you know, it might even be, you know, could be a good few cups of wine, but he's still at the point where we won't just act silly. He might do things he'd normally be embarrassed to do. He might tell people how much he loves them. He would be embarrassed to tell them, you know, not in a stupid way. The guy, oh, I love you. Not in a sugar way. You know, the guy walking on drunk, oh, I love you. So I'm not saying he's doing anything wrong. Maybe he has what to rely on. But l'chaira, you know, it doesn't sit so well with me, you know. So, you know, when a person is drunk, you know, is high or is drunk or poor to the point that he might say things, he might be less embarrassed, he might be more levitic, he might be friendlier, he might be more expressive, and it might even be clear he's drunk. But not to the point that he's just, you know, that he's totally out of line. He might be a different person. People would know he's drunk. But not because it's like, not because it's not time he's crazy. Not time he's acting like a machine, not acting strange. You know, once a person drinks a certain point, he's no good show. It's also hard to strike. So on Purim, you know, on Purim, a person doesn't have to get stone drunk to have an aliyah. A person wants to connect to his chaverim, he wants to connect to his rabbeim, he wants to connect to Torah, he wants to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The stomach has a better chance at doing that when he still has, you know, when he still hasn't crossed over the stone drunk line. The stomach has a better chance of connecting to his chaverim, his rabbeim, his talmidim, his Kadosh Baruch Hu, to Torah. The stomach person has a better chance, but he's not stone drunk. So it's not necessary. It's very hard. A person has to be clear in his mind beforehand, you know, that he's going to draw the line. No, it's going to draw the line. All right. We'll stop.